The year was 1913. The man's name was Arthur Momond, and he created a comic strip for a New York newspaper called the New York World, and the name of the comic strip was Keeping Up with the Joneses. It lasted until 1940, but the phrase lived far beyond the 1940s. Have you ever found yourself in life with the urge to try to keep up with the Joneses? In 1946, Irving Berlin released a hit musical by the name of Annie, Get Your Gun. It starred Ethel Merman on Broadway, and a number of hit songs came from Annie, Get Your Gun, such as The Girl That I Marry, Doing What Comes Naturally, There Is No Business Like Show Business. But the song from Annie, Get Your Gun that I think was the most fun of all was not a solo, it was actually a duet, and it was called Anything You Can Do. What comes next? I have been singing that duet with Judy Hooks for over 30 years. I hate it when she wins. Arthur Momond and Irving Berlin were tapping into a very basic nature of man. They were smart. But they were not as smart as professional advertisers. Professional advertisers actually study the basic nature of man so that they can target our weaknesses. The people who write those advertising jingles that we hear on the radio and on television, every time it plays on the air, ASCAP sends them a royalty. Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. It's a very lucrative way to make a living. And those jingles work. How many times have I purchased something because I enjoyed the advertising? I enjoyed the jingle. And perhaps one of the best examples of one of those jingles came about in 1960. Count the years. 1960. And I'll bet you can sing it with me. My dog's better than your dog. My dog's better than yours. My dog's better 'cause he gets kennel ration. My dog's better than yours. And there are other versions of it. There's the, my dog's bigger than yours, and my dog's smarter than yours, and my dog's faster than yours. And why does that jingle work so well? Why did it work? Because it appeals to our basic nature, a desire to feel superior. My dad's bigger than your dad. My car is faster than your car. My salary's bigger than your salary. My wife's prettier than your wife. My grades are better than your grades. And on and on and on it goes. Now, I want us to remember what the crafty serpent said to Eve in Genesis 3 about the forbidden fruit. The devil said, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eve liked hearing that. It appealed to her basic nature. It fed her desire to feel superior. It was a psychologist by the name of Arthur Adler who coined the phrase superiority complex. It happened in the early 20th century, and here is part of what he wrote. It seems to be a trait of human nature that when individuals, both children and adults, feel weak, they want to solve the problems of life in such a way as to obtain personal superiority without any admixture of social interest. A superiority complex is a compensation for the inferiority complex. So, according to Adler, our desire to feel superior to others is because deeply inside of us, we feel inferior to others. We need to give up our need to feel superior. It's really a sin of pride. And we need to repent of our sin of pride in whatever form it comes. Here is what another psychologist wrote on this subject. And I want you to compare this to what the serpent said to Eve. An idealized self-image usually includes secret beliefs of being all-powerful and omnipotent, of being almost godlike. This means feeling superior to all those mere mortals, obviously having more knowledge and abilities than them. Said the snake. Have you ever known anybody who acted that way? Just watch the evening news and look at some of the personalities that occupy the White House today. And I won't say anything more about that. The tendency to want to feel superior to other people begins in childhood. Just look at the tragic examples even today of children bullying other children until they want to kill themselves. Even laughter can be a form of feeling superior to other people. Aristotle insisted that we laugh at the ugly and the stupid in life in order to express joy that we feel better than they are. Socrates added that we also laugh at those who are delusional in their own abilities because we flatter ourselves that we are more clear-sighted. Thomas Hobbes claimed that laughter was a moment of glory in which we feel ourselves to be above other people. Have you ever caught yourself laughing at someone less fortunate than you? There's a television program that I would love to enjoy, if for nothing else because of its title. But I literally hate this show. It's called America's Funniest Videos. Why do I hate it? Because every time I've watched it, it is filled with people who are falling and tripping and hurting themselves and having accidents that could actually maim them for life. And the audience laughs and laughs and laughs at their misfortune, at their awkwardness, at their obvious pain. Why? Well, I think it's partly because they feel they are more dignified than all those victims on the video who fall off ladders and bicycles. They feel superior. We have all known someone who always has an opinion on just about everything, and they toss those opinions around with such passion that they appear to be experts, even if they're not. They ignore a fact, and the fact is that one cannot know what one does not know. Think about that. One cannot know what one does not know. So they have a feeling of superiority when it comes to their knowledge on whatever subject it may be. And as the saying goes, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Now, most of you know that you have been guilty of at least some of these things, at least some of the time. The sin of thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You may not feel that it's a frequent sin in your life. You may not feel like it is an ongoing sin in your life. And if that is true, you have just confirmed that you struggle with a false sense of superiority. Here are some examples that came to my mind. Have you ever felt thankful that you are not the other gender? I have known many husbands who were thankful that they were not women. I have known many men who feel that men are superior to women. I've known many men who were thankful that they were males and not females. I have known many wives who know that they are superior to their husbands. I'm sorry, Judy, I didn't mean to look at you. Now here's a sensitive one. Have you ever thought or acted like any other race is inferior to your own? Here's another one. The other political party is not as good as my political party. Some of you came from a church that was affected by a few theological snobs. I know because I was there with you, and it affected my life negatively. I think back to my youth. I lived in North Carolina. It was an insult to mistakenly say that I was from South Carolina. My dog's bigger than your dog. My dog's bigger than yours. The list is endless. And some parts of it are more harmful than others. I realize that. And now I am sure you know this. Jesus Christ modeled the exact opposite of a feeling of superiority. If anyone in history had the right to feel and act superior to us, it would be Jesus Christ. But he did just the opposite. It is painful to compare myself to Jesus. It is painful for you to compare your life to his life. Let's do it. Let's start here. Some people are puffed up with pride because of where they were born. He was born in a dirty stable with animals. Some people are held in high esteem because of who their parents were. Even his hometown neighbors scoffed and said, "Isn't this the carpenter's son?" We like to hold our heads high because we live in a respectable neighborhood. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Many of us are very proud because we live in beautiful homes. The Lord Jesus said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Some people spend a lot of time and a lot of money on their appearance. Just watch the Academy Awards tonight, and you will discover, if you watch the pre-shows, that many of those starlets spend all day today getting themselves ready for the camera. The Bible says Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. We socialize only with respectable people. He was criticized for being a friend of sinners. We dress up and we act in such ways that people will like us. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We long to make our own decisions in this life and do things the way we want to do them. Jesus said, "I have come down to have from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Paul captured the attitude of Jesus in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." And just after Paul wrote those words, he laid these words on us: "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." The attitude of Jesus Christ should totally annihilate any possible feeling of superiority that any of us could possibly nurture in ourselves. But it was not just his attitude. It was also his actions. He broke all sorts of social rules. He spoke to a Samaritan woman by the well. He invited himself to have dinner with a tax collector. He came to the aid of a condemned prostitute. He spoke to and he even healed Gentiles. He touched lepers. He encouraged his disciple to pluck the wheat and to heal people on the Sabbath. He washed his disciples' feet. Jesus both taught and he demonstrated the opposite of a feeling of superiority to others. And he said this in Matthew 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And I'm sure you remember very well this story from Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up into heaven. He beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because of what Jesus Christ modeled for us, James said this in chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That is the message that I think we heard repeated over and over and over and over about the life of Billy Graham. If you watched the services, if you listened to the messages, he was a man who tried very hard to live what I'm talking about today. I happen to know that his funeral was planned 10 years ago. And when he heard the plans, he decided he did not want to be laid in the rotunda of the Capitol building as if he were some great man. All he wanted was a simple service in Charlotte by the grave of his wife. He did not want to have a service at the National Cathedral. That was axed. I'm glad they had him come to the rotunda. I believe he was an American treasure. I believe he was a global treasure. I believe he deserved it. But he, if he had been alive, he would have said, no, no. Don't think of yourself as better than other people. And Paul said this in Colossians 3:11. Here, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Are we not convicted? Is there anybody here who can say that they are not convicted? As you compare your life with the life of the perfect one, Jesus the Christ? Is there any sense of superiority within yourself that you need to lay on the altar of God before your day of judgment comes? Isaac Watts said it profoundly more than 300 years ago. This is what he wrote. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. Let's pray. Lord God, Your word and Your angels say that You are worthy, and only You are worthy. And Father, we lift high the name of Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, our perfect heavenly brother, our perfect friend, our Lord. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your example of washing feet. And we pray, Lord, that as we look again, especially during this season of Lent, at Your cross and Your sacrifice, You will help us to give up any sense or feeling or action or word of superiority. And may we place it at Your feet and worship You, the only one worthy. We pray in His name, and we say together, Amen.